mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to start off by saying happy Memorial Day. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. So we do honor those that have, the fallen soldiers that have given their life for our country, for us to walk in freedom. I just want you to know that I am thankful for every sacrifice that was made. And I am thankful for Jesus Christ, who made the greatest sacrifice ever and gave his life. But the good thing is, he came back from the dead, and he is sitting at the right hand of God, right? And he said, it is expedient that I go away, for if I go away, I will send another one just like me, except he will not just walk with you, but he will live and walk in you. Amen? And so that's what we started talking about last week, is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. And as you know, if you were here, I did not finish that. So we're going to endeavor to finish that today. And so I'm excited about this. This is going to be a good word for you today. So just buckle your seatbelts and hang tight, because we're going to have a good ride today. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to start off by telling a story. I was reading about this story this week. And as most of us here know, anybody that knows anything about history, and if you don't, you're going to get a history lesson today. But back in the 1940s, United States found themselves in a devastating defeat at Pearl Harbor. Devastating defeat. And the reason for that is it's like the Japanese seemed to know everything we were going to do before we did it. And the reason for that is because they had sent some of their people into our country and learned our language in our very own country from our very own teachers. And then they went back. And so every time that a command or an order was given to a Marine platoon or it didn't matter what branch of service it was, when an order was given, they would intercept the message, decipher it, and then their commanders knew what we were going to do before we ever did it. And so, everything we went to do, they had an answer for it. And it brought devastating defeat to Pearl Harbor. But then there was a guy who had this idea. What was his name? Philip Johnson. This all happened until 1942. And in 1942, Philip Johnston had this idea. And he went to some of the commanders. He says, I've got an idea. And he said, what if we had a code that could not be deciphered? What if we had an idea of communicating through the radio waves, but our enemy could not decipher what we were saying and what we were doing? And so it intrigued some of the generals. So they got together and they listened to him. And he began to lay out this plan to use Navajo Indians that were called wind talkers. And he got together about, I think it was like 27 or 29 or something like that, of these Navajo Indians. And they took them into this building, and they put some in one part of the building, some in the other part of the building, and just to do a test. And so the wind talkers, the Navajo Indians, they would get the orders from the commander, and then they would transmit those through the radio waves in Navajo language. And then in the other end, the receivers would have a Navajo Indian. They would hear it in Navajo, then they would translate it to those commanders what the orders were. Well, this right here completely upended Japan's plan for us. Because then they began to do this, and this is what's so beautiful about this. They were speaking in a language that the Japanese had never heard. Now, why is this? Because Navajo language back in the 1942 was not a language that was taught in schools. And the way this guy knew about it is because he was the son of a missionary on a Navajo reservation. He was raised all his life on the Navajo reservation. And it was just a language that they knew, that they spoke in, but it was not taught in schools. The only place you could learn it was to live on a Navajo reservation. So here they are. So now, so what happens? The government begins to recruit all of these 400 Navajo Indians and begin to put them in all branches of service and put them on the field and put them everywhere they needed them to be. And then now, when the transmission was made, the Japanese would hear it and they're having to tell their commanders, "We have no idea what they are saying. I don't know what to tell you that they're going to do because they're using a language that we don't understand. They're using a language that we cannot decipher. It is an unknown language to us and we have no idea. Can I tell you that when we are praying in the spirit, the devil is saying, I have no idea what they are saying. When we are praying in the spirit, I can imagine the demons coming to Lucifer going, oh, I don't know what to tell you they're planning because we have no idea. Because we can't understand their language. God is calling us today to be wind talkers. To say no to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. To say no to this prayer language is to bring limitations into your own life. Because God gave us a language that the enemy does not know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What if we came up with a secret code? When this happened, this is when the battle turned. When they began to talk in a language that their enemy did not understand. When we began to talk in that language, the enemy is at a loss. He has no idea. Can I tell you that the enemy, he knows every earthly language that there is. He knows exactly what they're saying. He knows what they mean by what they say. He knows what the infliction of their voice means. He understands all these natural earthly languages. But there is a language that our God gave us. He says it is expedient. Jesus said it is so important that I go away. I know you want to keep me close, but listen, it's so important that I go away because when I go away, I'm sending you another one just like me, except he's going to live in you and I'm going to. So let's catch up. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And verse 1. We'll start right there. In the New King James, and I read it last week, but let's read it again. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there were with one accord, they were all there in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Come on, I'm asking you today to begin to listen for the sound. There is a sound that the Lord has for you. It is the prayer language that he has given us. And I'm asking you to listen for that sound and allow it to affect you just like it affected them. It says, and when they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. God says, hey, go into the upper room. You stay there until I endue you with power from on high. What is he talking about? He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest evidence the Bible gives us of people being baptized with the Spirit is because they heard them speaking in tongues. Listen, let me tell you something. Tongues is not some weird, goofy, messed up, confused, weird thing. It is the gift. Can you imagine if we had some Navajo Indians come in here this morning and they began to come in here and they began to talk? You might go, man, that is a strange language. I just cannot even understand. Did you know in the Navajo language, they can say one word, but they have different inflections in their voice. And depending on the infliction of their voice, that one word takes on a completely different meaning. It's a weird, strange language. Right? The Holy Spirit, the praying in the Spirit, to some, it seems weird. It seems strange, but it is nonetheless very powerful. Hallelujah. We're gonna see a little bit more about that as we move on here today. But it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a language that the enemy cannot understand. Why? Because it didn't come from the earth. It came as of a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled everyone that was in the house, and they began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a language that allows the Holy Spirit to pray through you. Have you ever been in a situation and you're just like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't know what to pray. I don't even know what to. You ever been in a situation and you just felt like, I don't even know what to do in this situation. I don't even know where to begin. I just feel so confused, right? Did you know, can I tell you that though you may feel confused, God has a plan. God is never caught by surprise by nothing that you're facing. If you consulted with him, he would go, that's okay, I got a plan. Anybody remember the old A-Team show back in the day? Some of you younger ones are like, the what team? And Hannibal would always say, I've got a plan. What are we going to do now? I've got a plan. Can I tell you that God always has a plan? God is never caught by surprise. He's never knocked off kilter off of his throne. He always has a plan. He's never concerned. He's never worried. He's never stressed. He's never having anxieties. He's like, what's the problem? I got a plan. I'm telling you, no matter how confused you may think you are, God is not confused. God always has a plan. Amen. Glory to God. So this is a language that allows the Holy Spirit to pray through you. God is calling us to be wind talkers. He has given us a language that will destroy the tactics of the enemy. And it will turn the tide in your life. That battle that you're going through, that struggle that you've been facing again and again and again. If we will begin to just pray in the Spirit, we will find answers to that problem. Hallelujah, because God is not confused. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. You know, some people say, like, you know what? I'm okay with you teaching on the blood of Jesus, and I'm okay with you teaching on faith, and I'm okay with you teaching on this and teaching on that, but now you're getting into this tongues thing, and you're getting a little bit out there. You're getting a little bit weird. You're talking about stuff that I'm not comfortable with. This just don't make sense to me. This is a little bit too far. Too far? I don't think so. Let's see what the Word of God says about this. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm reading out the New Living Translation. It says this in 1 Corinthians 14:2. It says this. It says, for if you, everybody say, that's me. If you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. So this is not just some other earthling language. This is not even the gift of tongues where God may give you a gift to speak in a tongue and then cause someone to hear it in their foreign language, which I've seen that happen myself. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I went to this church with my best friend, and we went to, there was a special meeting going on, so he invited me to go. So I went to this meeting with him, and right in the middle of the message, the minister stopped. And he just busted out. Now, I'd been in the Assemblies of God church for a while, so I knew I wasn't freaked out by the tongues. I knew what was going on, but this really surprised me. I had never seen or heard this happen in my own personal experience. And so the minister stopped in the middle of his message, and he looked out in the crowd, and he just began to give this message in tongues. And then all of a sudden, this lady began to cry and began to weep and began to scream in excitement. And the minister stopped and he says, ma'am, what's going on? He said, and now remember, I've been in churches where they speak in tongues. I completely recognize it. Plus, I was best friends. All my best friends in high school were Mexicans. I was around Spanish all the time. He was not speaking any Spanish. But this Spanish lady, this Spanish speaking lady, she says, you just told me. What you don't know is my son is overseas, and I didn't know if I would ever see him again. And you just told me in perfect Spanish that your son is in my hand. I will bring him home to you. Trust me, daughter, everything will be okay. That was him giving a message in tongues and God allowing that lady to hear it in her perfect language. Now, that was the gift of tongues in operation. Right? But what we're talking about, we're not even talking about the gift of tongues. We're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We call it the prayer language. God gave us our own prayer language that when we don't know what to pray, when we don't know what to do in a situation, we can begin to pray in the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans that when we pray in the Spirit, we are praying the perfect will of God. You're taking everything that you don't know about the situation and you're giving it to God, and you're just praying in the Spirit. And as you're doing, you're praying the very perfect will of God over that situation. How many would like to be able to pray exactly what God would pray? I mean, how powerful is that? You praying the exact same thing. I mean, if God was standing here and praying, you would, in the Spirit, you're praying exactly what Jesus would pray. You're praying exactly what the Holy Spirit would pray. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is praying through you. You know, they did a test with people that were praying in tongues, and they had a conversation. They had them, they put up all these little diodes, things, whatever, on their head and everything. And they're kind of examining their brain while they're praying. So they said, pray in English. So they were praying in English. And, of course, you know, the mental faculties are just like all active, man, because they're praying in English. They're trying to think of what to say. Everything's, the mind is completely engaged. Then they said, now we want you to stop praying in English and we want you to pray in tongues. So this lady began to just pray in tongues, and they're watching the machines, and all the mental activity went. Why? Because you're removing your own limitations, your own thinking out of it, because you've stepped over out of the natural and into the Spirit. Listen, when you don't know what to do with that son and daughter, when you don't know what to do about your marriage, when you don't know what to do about your business, when you don't know what to do about this crisis or this situation, man, you're not limited to the natural, praise God. We get to step over into the Spirit, and we begin to pray in the Spirit. We begin to pray in tongues, and we allow God to move upon that scene, and we're praying the very perfect will of God because of this amazing gift that He is giving us. We get to become wind talkers. Hallelujah. A language that the enemy does not know and can never, ever decipher. Hallelujah. So he says here in First Corinthians 14 and verse 2, he says, where am I at? Verse 2. Okay. For if you have the ability to pray in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. Hallelujah. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. In other words, people around you, they're not going to understand that. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a personal prayer language for each and every individual. This is not for the preachers. And can I tell you, this is not, because some people say, well, that's just for the ones that were in the upper room. This is 60-something years. This is the Apostle Paul talking about this. He wasn't in the upper room. Right? He wasn't there. He wasn't in the upper room. He was not there when Jesus died. He became an opponent to the church of Jesus Christ until God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, right? And knocked him off his horse and said, okay, you need to go talk to this guy because I'm going to set you straight. So we're talking about Paul talking here. We're not talking about one of them that was in the upper room. So this is not just for the select few. This is not just for the ones that were in the upper room. This is a gift by God, from God, to the church of Jesus Christ, which is you and which is me. And he says this. He says, you will only be talking to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. Jump down to verse 14. There's a lot that I could read here, and I've taught on this before, and we've covered a lot of these verses, but just for time's sake, let's look down at verse 14. In verse 14, it says this. Paul said, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Another translation says, if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, my mind's not going to really know what's going on. See, so you got people that goes, well, man, I just don't know. I pray something that I don't know what's going on. You know, how many know sometimes it's best that you don't know what's going on? But here's the thing. It removes the limitations of what we think. How many can acknowledge that maybe God might be just a little bit smarter than you? I can acknowledge that every day. Hallelujah. But he says here, he says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I am saying. Well, then, what shall I do? Paul says, well, I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in words I do not understand. What did I say? Okay. I will pray in the spirit, and I will also pray in words I understand. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in words I understand. Right? So that means we can pray and we can pray in our own language, but he has given us this other language, the prayer language, the language of the spirit, that we can pray in the spirit, and we don't have to know everything that we are saying. We don't have to know what it's all about, but what we do know is that when we're doing that, we're praying the perfect will of God in that situation. That is so profound to me. That is so awesome. What else does he say? Well, let's jump down to verse 18. Because, you know, there were people in this group here. Now, and Paul's having to bring some correction because people were getting a hold of this concept of praying in the spirit. And then they were just coming into the church and he couldn't get anything accomplished because everybody's just trying to pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray in the spirit, pray. Well, there is a balance to things, right? The Bible says for things to be done decently in order. And we'll look at that here just a little bit. But he says here in verse 18, he says, I thank, now listen to Paul. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. So Paul is not saying, because this is what the modern day church has tried to do. They have tried to take the baptism of the Holy Spirit and throw the whole thing out. Throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, right? But that's not what God wants. He said, I've got this amazing gift for you. This is gonna put you over in life. This is gonna bring victory into your life. And then we're gonna take it and throw it out simply because it's something that we don't understand. But Paul says this. He says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. Right? But in a church meeting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words and an unknown tongue. Now, understand, he is bringing correction to a church that in the church in Corinth, they were just coming in and nothing can be accomplished because everybody's just praying in tongues. Everybody's trying to give a word in tongues. Everybody's trying to give a message in tongues. And he's like, oh, whoa, okay, there's a way to do this. Right? But he gave us a gift for our personal prayer time. Amen? Now, some of you have probably heard me around here, especially right before I step up, you may catch me, or during worship, if you're close enough, you might hear me praying in the spirit, because then what I'm doing, I'm building myself up, man. I'm not trying to give you a message in tongues. It's not for anybody. I'm talking to God. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't know exactly what you want to do here today. So I'm praying in the spirit that what he wants done would be done. What he wants said would be said. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, because I'm not trying to give you a message in tongues. Because the Bible, it goes on to say, if you give a message in tongues, then somebody needs to be there to interpret it. Right? Otherwise, it gets all kind of wacky. And so he says here, and that's what they were doing. They were getting all out of whack and everything. So he's bringing some correction in love. But he says, so, where am I? Verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than any of you. But in a church setting, I would rather speak 5 understandable words to help others than 10,000 words in a known language. Now jump down to verse 39. In verse 39, he says this. He says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager. Are you listening to this? My dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Don't forbid it. This is a gift from God. Why would we want to go around forbidding people from doing anything that God says this is for you? It's a gift from God. Listen, I was raised in a church early on in my life where they thought tongues was of the devil. I mean, heck, my dad, we were asked to leave the church just because my dad raised his hand during worship. I mean, it was staunch, like, ooh, don't move. You know? Hallelujah. Right? So I was raising, I was raising that. And then this is crazy because then me and my brothers are out. We're playing in the yard. And here comes this school bus thing on Saturday. And they jump out of the bus while it's still moving. I got to do that. That was pretty cool. All right. And so they jump out of the bus, stop, and get out of the bus. And then they come over and they got this handful of bubble gum. And they're giving each one of us kids. This is back in the day when you could give kids candy and not be concerned about it. Okay. So they're giving all of us a piece of bubble gum. Had my attention. Right. It worked. So they say, hey, we'd like to invite you to children's church at Westside Assembly. I'm like, that sounds fun. You're giving me bubble gum. This is a good start. You're talking about the power of first impressions. Right? So, I mean, they had my attention, had my brother's attention. So we go into my mom. Now, you got to understand this church that we were in that thought tongues was of the devil. I mean, that's the church that my mom was raised in. Right? So, I mean, we're talking about having to break some history here. And so we go in there, Mom, Dad, and we tell them all what's going on. We want to go check this place out. They have a kids' church, and they said they do a lot of fun stuff, and they teach us about Jesus. I want to go. Like, let's go. But my mom had just had back surgery, and so she couldn't get up and go to church anyway. At that time, my mom had had 5 back surgeries that later God completely healed her from. That's why she's able to sit in a chair today, praise God. So she had just had back surgery, so she's kind of laid up in the bed anyway. And my dad stayed home and took care of her, you know, on weekends and stuff. And so they're like, okay, you don't have to take us. They bring a bus by, and they will pick us up. And my mom and dad were smart parents. They're like, yes. Right? So that's back in the day when you could trust people, right? So anyway, they put us on this bus, and we went to that place, and it turned out to be an Assembly of God church. So we're going from a church that they believed that tongues was of the devil to a church who, man, they were not ashamed of praying in tongues. And I didn't understand it, and all I still remember his name, Brother Bobby. Big old dude. And man, I would just hear him praying in tongues. And I thought, man, that is crazy. What is this? This is nuts, man. What is this language they're talking about? But we go home, and my parents and I said, what was it like? Oh, it was awesome. We want to go back. There was something about that church that's like, well, they do some strange, crazy stuff. They got this weird language, but man, it was fun. It was awesome. So we started, when my mom got better, she goes, well, let me go check it out. So she goes there, and ladies are like, so good to have you. Mom says, oh, this is not our kind of church, so we won't be back. I just come from my kids wanted me to come once. And next Sunday, we were back. And the next Sunday, we were back. And the next Sunday, we were back, and we never left. Right? And we begin to learn about this amazing experience that happened at Pentecost. Hallelujah. So we went from a church that thought it was of the devil to a church that was all about it. And I thank God for that still today. Right? And so he says here, in verse 39, he says, my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and don't forbid speaking in tongues. Be sure that then he goes on to deal with all of those Pentecostals, right? The ones that you get the rumors from, they're swinging from the rafters and swinging from the chandeliers. And there was some crazy stuff that went on, especially in the South. You know, things got a little crazy. But you know what? But Paul had a phrase for that. He says, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order, right? Let everything be done decently and in order. And he spent that whole chapter 14 talking about, he was encouraging, look, the gift of praying in the Spirit is a powerful thing. Yeah, there's some things that you got to make sure you got to, you know, but here it is. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. But don't throw tongues out because you don't understand it. It is outside of Jesus dying on the cross. It is the most powerful thing God ever did for us. God is filled with the Holy Spirit, God is saved. And then he wants us filled with the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 19 and we'll see what I'm talking about. Two more passages and then I'll be done. All right. So in Acts chapter 19, in the New King James, he said this, right? He says, and it happened in verse 1, Acts 19, 1, says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Everybody say disciples. All right, how many know that when he talks about disciples, he's talking about people that are believers in Jesus? Right? This isn't people that don't know. This isn't unsaved people. This is disciples. He says, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said, as most of the people in America and the world today says, we have not even so much heard as there was this Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So look here, we got people that are disciples and they've been baptized. I mean, they're as saved as you can be. I mean, they're saved or they've been baptized in water through John. And I mean, so these are believers, man. They're just like, yes, praise God, we are believers. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, but that is, on Christ Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on these believers that didn't even know if there was such a thing as the Holy Spirit, when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Hallelujah. Man, the tongues is one of the most powerful things God ever did for us. And how do we know when we, how does the Bible show us, how did they know when people had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? For they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Come on, hopefully I'm building your faith. If this has been an area that you've kind of been wondering about, been interested in, whatever, you maybe struggled with, whatever, can I just let you know that this is from God. This is from the book. This is from the scriptures. Amen? How many know we call ourselves a scriptural church? You know what's required to be a scriptural church? Scripture. And enough wind to say all that. Because I was running out. All right? So he says here, Where have I got you? Okay, so the Holy Spirit came up on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44 in the New King James, it says this. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So this is not just for the Jews. This is for everybody. Well, how do you know that it was poured out on the Gentiles? Because he says here, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Why? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Lord, help them get it. Man, the praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit is the most powerful thing that God's done for us outside of sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. And it is an experience different from just receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As we saw there, I mean, he came across some disciples who had been, they had believed, they had received Christ in their life, and they had been baptized, right? But they just didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. When they found out there was a Holy Spirit, they're probably thinking, well, I'm a disciple. That was pretty awesome. Got baptized. That was really cool. And Holy Spirit, yeah, I'll take that too. Sign me up. Right? I'll take everything God's got for me. We should be hungry for everything God has for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It poured out. The Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Why? How do we know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Hallelujah. Did you know you can have the Holy Spirit, and many people, and maybe even some of you in here, maybe you say, well, I received the Holy Spirit years ago, but I haven't really spoke with tongues for a while. Reminds me of a story. Brought my best friend came up, and he was in the National Guard. He'd already served some years in the Marines and the Army, and then he got out and he decided I'll just be in National Guard now. So anyway, he came up here to Fort Smith up there by Tacoma, I think it is. Anyway, so he came up there and he called me a couple weeks before. He said, "Hey, I'm gonna be up there for my 2 weeks summer training up in Washington. You think maybe we can get together?" I said, "Absolutely." So man, I rented a car and because the one I had wouldn't have made it. And so I asked Heather, and she said, yeah, go ahead. So I went and I rented a car for the day, and I drove all the way up to Fort Smith and got together with him. I said, "Hey, man, let's go do something fun. Let's go on into Seattle." So I'd been to Seattle a few times, so I kind of knew where the fish market was and Space Needle and all this. So I took him. I said, "We're going up there. We go up there, and we're just kind of checking out everything." And I wanted to treat him to lunch, so I said, "Let's go to Spaghetti Factory. That was the best place I knew to eat up there at the time." So we took him to the old Spaghetti Factory down there on the waterfront, and we're sitting there, and he sees this picture of an Italian soda, and he's like, "That looks awesome," because it's got the green and the white and the red, and he just thought that is a really cool drink. I went, "I'll get you one." Yeah, so he ordered him an Italian soda, and he got there, and you know, and I'd order some iced tea, I think, anyway, I got my iced tea, and I'm over sitting there kind of putting some sugar in it and stuff, and he got his Italian soda, and then I looked up, and he had already had the straw in there, and it still had all the flavors separated, and he went to take a drink, and I wait for. Too late. He had already took a drink, and he's like, "Oh, this is horrible. Oh my gosh, this is horrible." I'm like, "Fernando." I called him Fernie from high school. I said, "Fernie, man, come on, wait. No, it's better when you stir it up. You take the straw or grab a spoon and you stir it. Yeah, it's pretty for the pictures. It's a great concept, but it's best when it's stirred up." Hallelujah. Anybody like to drink sweet tea besides me? I'm from the South, so I'm a sweet tea dude, right? It's hard to find anybody up here that serves sweet tea. You know, you ask for sweet tea today, and, you know, you go in there, and they say, "Well, you know, tea." I've done it enough to know not to even ask. I just say, "Can I get a glass of iced tea?" And what do? They got this little thing on the container on the table. It's got like several packets of different kinds of sugars. And I always ask Heather which one I'm supposed to have because one's healthier than the other. So anyway, I take the packet and you just sit there and you just rip. You know, you're putting the sugar in. Spend your whole meal, it seems like, putting sugar into the thing. Anyway, you know, and you drink it, but there's something about that. I've discovered it is not. Actually, I heard somebody say it like this the other day, and I thought it was really good. He said, "It's not the sugar that makes it sweet. It's the stirring up that makes it sweet." Now, the sugar does obviously contribute, but if all the sugar's in the bottom, you're not getting the sweet tea. Until you get to the bottom, then you got really sweet tea. But he said it this way. He says he discovered that it's not the sugar that makes it sweet. It's the stirring that makes it sweet. The Apostle Paul encouraged us, stir up the gift that is within you. So if you've been filled with the Spirit before and you've spoken in tongues before, but you haven't done it in a while, can I just encourage you today? I want to challenge you. Stir up the gift that is within you. If you're here today and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is easy. Why? Because when we lay our hands, as Paul did, we lay hands on him and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will speak in tongues. It's really not that hard. It's just a matter of understanding that it's like Heather said last week. It's like, you know, if I tell you to say something and you say it, who told you to say it? Well, I told you to say it, so you said it. But when the Holy Spirit's here and he tells you what to say, it's not going to be in some earthly language that you know. Right? And so then when you're sit there and you remember we said at the beginning, we need to listen for the sound. There was a sound that came from heaven. And that sound is still coming from heaven today for each and every person. He wants each and every person to have their own prayer language. It is a language that the enemy cannot decipher. The enemy cannot understand. And if he don't know what you're praying, he don't know how to come against your prayer. I thank God for natural prayer. I thank God that I can pray in English. But I also thank God, oh my goodness, when I don't know what to pray. Or you know what, there are times I might have an idea what I should pray, but I figure I'll just pray in the Holy Ghost and let pray in the Holy Spirit. Ghost is just an old English term. But I'll just pray in the Holy Spirit and just let God do all the work. Amen? Amen. But being filled with the Spirit is easy. You're just praying something that you don't know. You're praying in a language that, and the one that is giving you the language is right there. He's here right now. He's here right now. And he's just like, in the spirit, he's like, come on, I got a gift for you. I got something good for you. And the devil ain't going to be able to do anything about it. Hallelujah. He's looking for us to be wind talkers. He's looking for us to be wind talkers. So here's the challenge. Refuse to be intimidated to not receive the gift of tongues. The enemy just tries to intimidate us and make us sound, well, that just don't make sense. And I thought, come on, it's from the book. It's right in the Bible. It is a gift that he has for each and every person. Why do I take 2 weeks to speak on this? One, because I ran out of time last week. But the other reason why I come back and let me tell you something. This, I am not ashamed of this, man. Excuse me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I am not ashamed of him. See, you're receiving a person. You're receiving a gift from a very real person. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He has a gift for you. And he just wants to be able to pray through you. And that's what tongues is. It's praying in a language that the enemy cannot decipher. He cannot understand. If you don't know what you're saying, he can't do anything to stop you. Amen. Isn't that good? Did you guys get anything out of this today? Amen. Listen, go ahead and stand up on your feet. I want to do something. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Carson, can you turn up the yellow mic?
One, two. Thank you, Jesus.
There you go.
There it is. Awesome. Thank you, Carson. Thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to also read, just encourage you. It says in that same chapter that Pastor Ken was talking on, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 4, it says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally.
Come on.
So yeah. That's another thing we want you to know. It strengthens you personally when you don't know. There's times, I remember Elijah would say, he was at school and he said, man, there's some things I didn't even know what to do. And he said he would pray in his prayer language. And I would do that on my job. I wouldn't sit there and just blurt it out. I wouldn't do that. I would just be like quietly praying in my prayer language, you know, to myself, saying, God, what I do in this situation? Oh, my gosh, this girl wants to beat me up. There was a situation at school. She wants to beat me up. God, help me. And I pray in my prayer language, God, help me. And he eventually gave me favor with her. And it was an awesome thing. And we became friends after that. God wants to show you what to do in a situation, you know. And even there was one time he was there at a car wreck, Elijah was, when they were doing some kind of school thing. And he goes, man, Mom, I just prayed in the spirit because I knew, you know, I knew this person that was there. And so anyway, God wants you to realize it's a tool. It's a tool and it strengthens you and it helps you to know what God is saying for you personally or know how to pray for somebody else. So it's different. And also, you know, if you've grown up in that situation where you've been taught that it's of the enemy, I just want you to know this. Doesn't it make sense to know that if it's of the devil and we're all praying in it, we'd be going the devil's way? We'd be more into drugs. We'd be doing more evil. Mm-hmm. We'd be more in fear if we were going in the devil's way.
Yeah.
So that's a lie from the enemy.
Yes.
Because he does not want you to receive something that is going to only help you advance in the things of God. Amen? So all we showed you was scripture that it is for today, and it's God. But so if that's a religious thinking, and we love those people, but they're going by traditions of man.
Come on.
But what the word says. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know any scripture that says don't pray in tongues.
That's right.
So you've got to know, we've got to go God's way, not man's way. Mm-hmm. Amen? And so just realize, you got to look at the fruit of what it's producing. And the Holy Spirit only produces more and more of God in your mm-hmm. life. When I received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with my own prayer language, I was a teenager, and all it did was compel me more to seek God out. Mm-hmm. And then he told me I was called, and then I pursued him even more. That's all it mm-hmm. did. So just remember that, okay? So don't let fear come in. Amen?
Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is what I'll do. I want everybody just to kind of lift your hands up right where you're at. And I just want you to begin to worship the Lord.